Welcome to the About, From, and With podcast, a podcast showcasing speech-language pathologists' journeys to finding their passion and purpose in the field. I'm your host, Dr. Danica Pfeiffer. In each episode, we'll learn about, from, and with SLP clinicians and researchers as they share their experiences, advice, and expertise. Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in to this episode of About, From, and With. If you haven't already, be sure to follow the podcast so you'll be notified of new episodes when they come out. If you're enjoying the podcast, I'd also love if you take a quick second to leave a rating or review. This will help other people find it too. I'm excited to share my first Q&A style episode with you today. The idea behind this podcast was to elicit questions from some of my colleagues and friends in CSD that others might also have as they enter the job market for the first time. Asking questions on the episode, we have Micah Hirsch and Dr. Helen Long. Micah Hirsch is currently a PhD candidate and graduate research assistant in the School of Communication Science and Disorders at Florida State University. They are also one of the co-founders of OpenCSD, a volunteer-led group with the aim of providing CSD researchers with resources and information for incorporating open science practices in their research. Dr. Helen Long is a certified speech-language pathologist and third-year postdoc at the Weissman Center and Institute of Clinical and Translational Research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's also a collaborator of CS Disseminate, a volunteer work group of early career CSD professionals aiming to improve the accessibility of research for clinicians and scientists. For each of the questions posed by Helen and Micah, Dr. Anna Airhorn and I share our experiences and advice, not as experts of the job market, but just as a couple of fellow academics who have navigated the process in the last couple years. Dr. Anna Airhorn, who joins me on this episode to answer some of Micah and Helen's questions, is an assistant professor within the Speech, Language, and Hearing Sciences Department at Auburn University. For those entering the job market, I hope some of these questions are relatable and that the information will help you get started as you begin your own journey on the job market. Hello, everyone. I am so grateful to have Helen, Micah, and Anna here with us today to do this question and answer style episode. So we have Helen and Micah that are going on the job market this fall, and Anna and I, who went through the job market before. Anna went straight from her doctoral program straight onto the job market, and I applied after being in a postdoc position. And we have kind of a similar situation here with Micah, who's applying after being in a doc program, and then Helen, who's currently a postdoc and is going to be going on the job market. So hopefully we can provide you with both perspectives, and this will be helpful to those that are going on the job market too. So to start off, let's go around, and if you could each tell us a little bit about you growing up before your academic journey and also where you are in your academic journey now. So let's start with Helen.
Thanks so much for having us. So my name is Helen Long. I'm currently a third-year postdoctoral researcher at the Weissman Center and the Institute of Clinical and Translational Research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I did my undergrad at Indiana University in Communication Sciences and Disorders. I did my graduate studies at Florida State University. I worked for a few years as a speech pathologist before deciding to go back for my PhD, where I studied at the University of Memphis and studied early infant vocal development, and I'm now studying communication and speech development in children with cerebral palsy. And so now my research kind of combines those things where I'm studying early vocal predictors of infants at risk for cerebral palsy.
Awesome. Thank you. And Micah.
Hi, Danica. Thank you again for inviting me to come talk today. I'm really excited for it. So I was born and raised in New Jersey. I was interested in the field of speech-language pathology since I was in high school. I went to Arizona State University in my undergrad as a speech and hearing science major. I graduated there in 2017, and then I came to Florida State University to complete my master's degree. And right after I did my master's degree, I stayed at Florida State to pursue a PhD. So my research is broadly in motor speech disorders and speech science, and I'm currently a fifth-year PhD candidate here at FSU.
Awesome. And Anna.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Anna Airhorn. Very excited to be here, especially being off the job market this year. So I'm an assistant professor currently at Auburn University. I got interested in the field actually in my undergrad, and it started with research, but ended up being a very strong clinical interest as well. So I did my undergraduate at the University of North Dakota. And then I headed a little bit east over to Bowling Green State University in Ohio, where I did my master's. There I worked clinically for a few years and mainly pediatric focused. And that's where I started to ask more questions and think more about kids with speech and language disorders and how they are at risk for literacy, but not everybody has difficulties for literacy difficulties. I did my PhD at the University of South Carolina, where I strengthened my understanding and started to build my research program focusing on strengths and deficits in children with speech, language, and literacy difficulties, and how I want to kind of look at the strengths and deficits to inform how we approach intervention to not only improve speech and language, but decrease that risk of literacy difficulties.
Thank you so much. I'm going to actually turn it over now to Helen to ask us her first question about going on the job market.
Yeah, thank you. This is actually kind of perfect timing because jobs are, you know, this is the beginning of the fall semester. So jobs are just now getting started being posted. So it's admittedly a little overwhelming looking through all the different posts and trying to figure out whether a position is actually a good fit. So maybe a first question is, what kind of information should we be looking for in job ads and how can we relate that to our own interests?
I'll start with a few things and then I'll let Anna jump in too. So the job ad is going to be pretty standard for the different positions that you'll see. But there are a few things I think that are really important to really hone in on when you're looking at the ad. The first one is what type of position it is. So that's really important. You want to make sure you're looking to see, is it assistant professor? Is it associate level professor? Is it a clinical assistant professor? A visiting assistant professor? There's all these different kinds of titles out there that you'll see. So if you're just finishing up a doc program or a postdoc, you're going to be looking at those assistant professor positions or research assistant professor position maybe, and those all have slightly different responsibilities. So you want to make sure that you know what that position is for. Sometimes job ads will be very detailed and tell you about the responsibilities that you'll have in that position and how those might break down. So what percentage of time is dedicated to research? What time is teaching? Unfortunately, they don't all do that. But if they do, that is really important to take into account to see if you might be interested in that. So if you see that it's 75% of your time will be dedicated to teaching, is that something that you really picture yourself doing or not? So that's important. Also, you really want to make sure you look at the due date. And a lot of times that the ad will say something like, we recommend that you apply by such date to be considered. And it's really not a recommendation. So if you don't apply by that date, they'll start looking at applications and then you might miss out on that position because they'll start inviting people for interviews. So I would just say any date that they give you, just make sure if you're interested in that job, go ahead and apply by that date. Anna, what are some other things you're thinking of?
When I started looking at ads, I also thought about areas that I would want to be or that I would consider living. So location-wise, that might be something that you're really strict in or maybe you're not. Another aspect that I was looking for because I was finishing up my dissertation at that time was the opportunity or the option of being open to ABD, so all but dissertation. Another aspect is when I was looking through it, I was actually looking also the order that they would say the responsibilities. So they might not give percentages necessarily, but maybe they would say teaching, research, service, or sometimes they would say teaching service research. And how I kind of narrowed it down, because it is overwhelming, is I actually made a rule like I had to have teaching and research in the top two out of the three. And that did help me. And I know some job ads are also putting being open to maybe not being on campus and being remote. So those are some things you want to look for, some keywords about what you're looking for in your job, maybe where you're headed next.
Yeah, thanks so much for highlighting that and the ABD aspect for those that will be applying when they're still finishing their dissertation. That's super important. The other thing I was thinking while you were talking was the documents that are needed to apply. That's another key thing that you'll want to look at, and that can actually tell you a lot about what Anna was just talking about how they prioritize teaching versus research and service. So if they don't ask you for a research statement, that likely tells you that teaching is the main focus of that position. So you want to look at those documents, make sure that you have all of those documents prepared, but also kind of think about, well, what are they really looking for, and what does this list of documents tell me about what they prioritize in their department?
That's really helpful. Thanks.
I guess kind of going off of that, where are some good places to look for job ads? I know for me personally, I know one of the most common places that positions in our field are posted are on the CAPSID website. What are some other websites or job boards that we should be looking at too?
I think you already said the main one that I used, but I also use social media. So I would look on Twitter or on the department website if there's a university I was really interested in. And I also, at the same time I was applying to jobs, I was also applying to postdocs. There were a couple of times that I did reach out to the chair to see if they would be hiring. So when I started to look, they maybe didn't have it posted yet, but to get an idea of, is there going to be a position here at all this coming year? And some were able to say yes, and some said, check back with me in a little, you know, in a couple of months, or keep a lookout for it type of thing. So those are my experiences for where I looked.
Yeah, that's so smart, especially if there's a geographic area that you really want to be in. And it would be helpful for you to know if a job is going to be opening up there or not. I just had this week somebody reached out to me asking if my university was going to have something because their family is in this area where I'm living. So, like, you can reach out and find out if they're going to have an opening or not. Some other websites that I looked at were Higher Ed Jobs and the Chronicle of Higher Education. They also have job boards that you can check. And some of those are going to be jobs that might be in other departments, but that you might be competitive for. So some of us in this field might be able to work in special education department, for example. And so you might find jobs in education departments in some of those websites as well. I know, Anna, you just mentioned social media. There is one group in particular on Facebook. It's a Facebook group called SLPs and AUDs in Higher Ed. And I frequently see people posting there as well. So if you're on Facebook, that's a good Facebook group to be in as well.
And I just thought of another one that I see a lot of postings come through, especially if you relate to education, or you could be related to the education field, is there's a group called Power. It's for women that are in higher ed, and they post a lot of postdocs and also job positions there. The other thing I was going to say and acknowledge is that you could also choose after your PhD to not go into academia. And so there are a lot of positions out there related to that. And I know that on Twitter, I see a lot of conversations and people who decided to go the industry route, and they talk about how they prepared themselves to think about, is that something that they want to do instead of academia? So you always have those, but I see a lot of postings there for that on social media as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll put the link to the Power group and those other groups that we just mentioned in the show notes. So for those that are listening, you can find the links there.
And what about how many jobs do you recommend applying to? I guess it's always a little uncertain regarding whether you'll get a screening or a full interview. So maybe just to be safe, how many do you suggest actually applying to?
I think this can vary so much. Interested to hear what Anna says too. So the first time I went on the job market, I applied to 5 positions, and I think that's not enough. I think that's probably not giving yourself enough options, but some people are really restricted by the geographical area that they can be in. And so 5 might be all that's available in that area. So I think it really does depend on your situation. 2 years ago when I went on the job market, I applied to close to 15 jobs. And so that was a big difference. And I think it really varies, but I'm hearing from a lot of people that they're applying to more like 10 to 15 than 5. So I think giving yourself lots of options really doesn't hurt you, because you don't really get to learn about that department until you start interviewing with them. I don't think it's going to hurt you to apply to more, just to give yourself some more potential options. But what would you say, Anna?
Yeah, I would say, so I applied, I think altogether between postdocs and jobs, it was 12 or 13 places. And I will say, like, job ads are great, but they are very controlled by HR and what they can put. And I always say, if you're interested at all, just apply. Because if they think you could be a good fit for their department, they're going to want to talk to you in the first round interview. So that's what I did. And I was able to get some good experiences. And sometimes I had a first round interview, and I had a couple of places that just blew me out right away. So it just depends on how they're approaching it.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, though, that in that first round interview, they might determine that you're not a great fit for them. And you might also, you're in control, too. You can say, oh, that wasn't a great conversation. I don't think that's the kind of department that I want to be in. So giving yourself more options will allow you to make those decisions a little bit easier than just ruling out jobs just because of the job ad.
Yeah. And keep in mind, those first round interviews, they're pretty short and sweet. So 15 to 30 minutes is usually as long as I would see some, like, the department there. And so that allowed me to kind of get a feel for how the department, like the environment and everything, how everybody was collaborating together. So you're interviewing them just as much as they are interviewing you at that point. You can kind of see if, you know, this is where I want to go. Just keep that in mind. So yeah, those are really quick ones. But it did help me. Those helped me actually decide what I was truly looking for as well. So those experiences helped me prepare for my in-person interviews, not just with them, but with other universities as well.
Thank you so much for sharing all that. That's really insightful. This is something I've been wondering. On job postings, they usually put a contact person who is the job search committee chair. So I guess this is kind of a two-part question. My question is it expected that you should reach out to that person before applying to jobs? And if so, when is a good time to reach out to that person?
From my experience, I don't think it's expected that you reach out and let them know that you're interested in the job, but you definitely can, especially if you have questions about things that are in the ad or things that were not in the ad. For example, like we were talking about earlier, if they don't list the percentage of time that your responsibilities would be and that breakdown and what that would look like, you could reach out and ask, you know, how much time is dedicated to research in this position, if that's something that you're interested in, or anything else that's unclear about the ad. I think it's not a bad idea to send an email after you've applied, especially if it's a position that you're really interested in. You could reach out and say, I just wanted to let you know that I submitted my application and I'm so excited about this opportunity. I don't think that hurts. What were your experiences with that, Anna?
Yeah, so I actually didn't reach out at all before. And the only time I reached out after is if I wasn't hearing from them about their process or their timeline. So sometimes I would get an email when I would apply and it would just be an automatic response like, we plan to, you know, review after the due date, and we'll hopefully be letting you know within the next couple of months or something to that nature, they would say. But there was only a couple of times that I reached out to get a little bit more information. But I actually didn't reach out at all beforehand. And I mean, this was my first job cycle, so it may not be the best approach. But I think definitely if you have questions that you want clarification on, then it's a good time to reach out before related to the application. But if it's about the application process after you've submitted, I would wait until afterwards.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point there too about following up if you haven't heard from them. So I kind of started to learn over time that if a month to like 6 weeks-ish goes by after that application date and you haven't heard anything, then it becomes more and more unlikely that you're going to be invited for that first round interview. But sometimes it goes that the committee starts interviewing people, they go through the second round, and then for whatever reason, there's a failed search and they have to go back and they start interviewing people again. So I think you start to feel like maybe you're counted out for that one, but you never know what can happen. So you might hear that so-and-so got an interview at this place and you think, oh, that means I didn't get one. But that's just not always the case. So I think that's something good to keep in mind.
Yes. And to add to that, you know, they're only usually, it depends on HR, but they're only allowed to bring so many people in at once. And then if no one is a good fit, then they bring the next round in. And so just kind of keep that in mind. And it's hard to be waiting and have patience. But if you're at the point that it's like a month or two out, it's okay to reach out and say, hey, I wanted to know where you're at in, you know, your hiring process, when, you know, I will potentially learn more about the position. I would say that would probably be the thing that I would ask. I did have to ask a couple of times to see where we're at when I was given a job offer. And so then I started to reach out more to kind of say, hey, you know, I want to know where you're at because I do have an opportunity and I want to know if I'm being considered at all. So sometimes I would get a response to that and sometimes I wouldn't. So those are some tips that I learned along the way.
Interesting. That's really good to know. But then also, in thinking about reaching out to people, I was also thinking that it's actually really convenient that ASHA happens every November, which is usually between the period that you would be applying and then maybe doing a screening interview. I was wondering your thoughts on whether you think we should meet people in the departments, like at the career fair, actually at the ASHA convention. And I don't know, if you've done this, how did you navigate it?
So for me, this is a great question. And I've been asked actually this year multiple times about this. I actually didn't have the opportunity to go to ASHA that year, first being like the year that I was applying, first being that I actually had a baby earlier that year, and leaving her was just a lot. So I couldn't quite do that. And I was asking the same question, like, will I be missing out on opportunities to meet with people? And this was also coming out of COVID, the height of COVID, I should say. And there was an in-person one and I did not go, but I did not feel like I didn't have that opportunity to meet with people to discuss anything. Also because, you know, one silver lining of COVID is that everybody is so used to now like meeting virtually and online. And so if I had questions, that was kind of my plan of like, I'll email, and if they wanted to talk further, I could talk with others like online. So I did not go to ASHA, and I didn't feel like it impacted my ability to interview.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not expected that you do this, that you go and seek out people that work in the departments that you're applying to. I didn't do that when I was initially on the job market. And then I heard that people were doing it. And I was like, ooh, that sounds like a cool idea. So I think some people do it, some people don't do it. When I was on the market, actually, when I was applying at Towson, I did go to ASHA and I looked up some of the faculty at Towson, and I was interested in that position in particular. And I looked them up to see if they were going to be at ASHA, because you can look on the app. And I saw that the chair was going to be there. And so I actually did plan to go to one of the panels that she was on, and I sat through it. And afterwards, I just went up and introduced myself. And she actually did bring that up when I was in the interview, like, oh, I remember meeting you at ASHA. So it was kind of something nice where we had already met each other before the interview and just said hello. But I don't think, like I said, it's necessarily expected. There are some departments where they'll hold their first round interviews or an initial just chat with applicants at ASHA. So that is something that happens. I've heard of a few people where they've gone and the chair of the search has actually set that up ahead of time with the people that are going to ASHA. So that could happen as well, that it's initiated by the search committee. So again, I don't think it's expected, but it could be a nice opportunity, especially if there's a department that you're really, really interested in.
Thank you for that. So I also have a question, but kind of more regarding about people who are on the search committee for jobs. We know that job postings usually include the contact information for the search committee chair, but is there any way to know who else might be on the search committee? And if so, how do we figure that out?
So in my experience, when you're invited for the first round interview by that search committee chair, they will also copy on the email a few other people. And those few other people are usually going to be the people that are on the search committee with them. Otherwise, that information, you can't find it online anywhere. You could ask the search chair. That could be a question that you ask. I think really at the stage where you're just submitting your application materials, I don't think it's completely relevant to ask at that point. But when you are preparing for the first round interview, if you are invited and it's their names are not copied on the email, I think at that point it would be appropriate to ask who else is on the search committee, and I think they would be fine to tell you. What do you think, Anna?
You can look at who the search chair and the committee, who's all on the committee, but a general rule is that you want to actually do some homework beforehand to learn about kind of each person within that department. And so go on their website, check it out, see who's all there. And then I also look university-wide too, like who else would I want to work with at this university? So I would usually ask to meet with people in psychology and education, and I would say why. So I would say, hey, I would love to talk with this person, because we have some commonalities between the methods that we use for research, or, I see they have a current project on this. I'm interested to learn more about that. And then you can also get perspectives outside of the department in the college even that you're within. So that's kind of just a general rule that I used. And so I didn't necessarily think so much about the search committee, but more about like who's in the department, because some of the questions you might be asked are related to, how do you see yourself fitting in this department? How might you collaborate with others in our department or at our university? And so having something to say related to that would really help.
I have a follow-up question to that. So if we are going to request like an external faculty member to be in attendance, do you suggest that is during the screening interview or the actual in-person interview?
That was when I only made that request for in-person or like not the screening interview, because I've even heard them doing online bigger interviews still. But I only requested that when it was past the first round into the second round. And so that's where I would make requests. So like I said, I had a baby, so I needed a space to pump, to feed my baby. And then I also requested aspects as well related to like who else I might want to meet with. That's kind of when I would start to request like, hey, I would love to meet with this person. And like I said, always give a reason why you would want to meet with them so that when the committee, someone on the committee reaches out to that person, they can say why.
Yeah, my experience is similar. That first round is just going to be with the search committee. And then in the second round, you can ask, you know, they might say, no, it's not possible or there's not time in the schedule. But I did have places where I interviewed in the second round where they asked me, you know, take a look at the schedule and, you know, you have this hour block open. Is there anyone else that you would like to talk to while you're here? And then that's when I did my search of like who's in these other departments that I could potentially collaborate with. And it's a nice way to learn a little bit more about the university from another perspective too, outside of the department. So I think that second round interview, if you're given the choice or given the option to invite someone else to speak with, I think it's a great thing to take advantage of.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And Anna, I really like kind of your overarching question of having us think about like how we see ourselves fitting into this department. And so that kind of brings me back to preparing the job application materials. And I'm wondering what advice you have for preparing those materials and maybe any suggestions on how to build that information into those materials.
I think giving yourself, just as a general guideline, giving yourself time to get feedback on your documents is really important. So right now, as we're recording this in the beginning of September, jobs are just starting to get posted. So it's a good time to just be working on those documents, because once you have them together, it'll just be some tweaking here and there to personalize them for the different departments that you're applying to. So give yourself the time so that you don't feel rushed to meet those deadlines. Some of the documents are easier to personalize than others. Typically, you're going to have your CV, your cover letter. They may ask for a teaching statement, research statement, or diversity and equity statement. And it could be a combination of any of those documents. Sometimes they'll even ask for more things like your transcripts, your letters of recommendation. Some ask for those early on, some wait to ask for those later. The ones that you really can personalize, I would say, are the cover letter, even the teaching statement. You can include some information there about courses that you might be able to teach in that department. Sometimes I've included that information just looking at their course catalog online. You can say, these are the classes that my expertise would fit and I could teach. The research statement is another one where you could really personalize and talk about who's in that department that you might be able to collaborate with. So again, doing your research like we've been talking about, reading the faculty profiles on the website and seeing who are potential collaborators in that department or at that university. Anna, you want to add anything about preparing documents?
Yeah, I think, so to start off with, my approach was I kind of made a blanket version of every single document possible of like the main ones that I noticed everybody was asking for. And then I would personalize it a little bit in the cover letter. I'll come back to that for a second. A little bit in the teaching statement by adding, you know, those courses, like you said, that you would be interested in, or even maybe a course that is not currently offered, but you'd be interested and open to adding this course. So, for example, for me, something I am interested in is having a course eventually that we talk about literacy. And I am hoping this could be, you know, I talked about how I hope this could be an interdisciplinary course that we bring in education. And we have SLPs, not only seniors, but also our graduate students have the option to enroll too. So something like that, if there's something that, you know, you have an expertise in, that you don't see a course maybe necessarily yet, if it's something that you would want to do. So I talked about it being maybe an undergrad, senior level elective type of thing. And then related to research statements, so how I personalize that is maybe I would talk about, so one of the skill sets that I have is using an eye tracking methodology. No one else that I saw currently on the website used that methodology, but others within the college did. And so that would be something that then I would highlight and why I would use that methodology and how it would help our students and our field. And then related to the cover letter, that's an area that I use to really highlight a lot of my achievements that I'm very proud of, the areas, you know, my publications, but then also what I would bring to Auburn and what I hope Auburn University would provide me to help support my career and my research. So those are kind of some ideas of how I might personalize those materials.
And getting back to what you were saying and asking about, Helen, with the fit, something that I was told was to take a look at the department's mission statement on their website, as well as their strategic plan when you're crafting your documents for a specific university. And that way you're getting a feel of what their priorities are, what are the things that they're currently working towards, and you can start to hit on some of those things and how you fit in with that mission or that plan that they've set in the department. So I would encourage you to take a look at those. And it's always nice when you can hit on some of the things and explain to them how your interests or your expertise, like Anna was explaining, really aligned with their goals in the department.
I like the idea of looking at the strategic plan. That seems very strategic. Just a follow-up question. How long do you think each of these statements should be?
I think that sticking to 2 to 3 pages for things like your teaching statement, research statement, DEI statement is probably smart. Even your cover letter, I don't think you want to go much past that 3 pages. Most of mine were 2 pages. What about you, Anna?
My cover letter was only ever 1. And my others were 2, no more than 1.5 to 2 pages for me. They are really reading every single application. And so just like we're told in grant writing, write for someone that is really tired and give them the best of you. So showing your best, but while being concise and clear in your written language.
Yeah, you can use headings, you know, use bolded text, things that will really help them quickly read the information and get a sense of what you're trying to say.
Yeah, like even in my cover letter, I believe I italicized and bolded certain things that I was really proud of that I wanted to showcase. So really use all the tips that we were given for grant writing, put it in place here as well.
Thank you so much for just sharing your perspectives. As I'm preparing my job materials now, of course, these are things that are really front and center on my mind. And Anna, particularly for the teaching statement, you mentioned about, you know, even talking about courses that you would want to teach, but maybe they don't necessarily have a course. I really like that idea. So just thank you for that tidbit there, because it made me think about how I can maybe improve my own teaching statement.
I was going to say, I got that idea actually from looking at the mission statement. So that's kind of how I got that idea. So.
Oh, that is good to know.
Yeah. So like, I think one of the goals here at Auburn is that we're developing a post-bac program. And so I talked about how, oh, we could do that. And this could be an elective that could be really beneficial. And they're wanting to be more interdisciplinary. So just kind of think about some of those things that you can incorporate and bring your expertise in.
Yeah, thank you. That's really good to think about. Kind of relating to job materials and preparing job materials more specifically, we talked about, you know, preparing these well in advance just so we have time to, you know, review them and edit them before the actual submission is due. Who do you suggest sharing these materials with to get feedback on before we submit applications?
I share them with a couple of different groups of people. So first, individuals who recently went through the job market. And I actually shared my templates. I should be clear about that. So like the template that I developed and then I personalized later, then they would kind of give me tips too. So like even within there, I remember someone gave me a tip that, hey, you should personalize this doing this here or something. So they'll give you some tips throughout as well. So kind of people who have went through it. And then I've actually brought, of course, I asked my mentor who always happily supported me in putting my best effort forward. And then I also asked people who I know were recently on a search committee for any tips that they would have as well. I also asked my parents because they were in academia, so I had that as well, but they were in nursing. So some of the things that they said, I actually didn't do because even what I would do for our field is a little bit different than what nursing would do. So just kind of keep that in mind if you do share it with people who are in maybe psych or some of those others. Departments that are related to us, it might look a little bit different. So if you are applying to those jobs, you might want to reach out to someone who recently also was on the job market.
Yeah, I agree with all of the people that you just mentioned, Anna. I also wanted to add for postdocs that might be listening to this, a resource that I found helpful was there's usually an office that's on campus that's dedicated to supporting PhD students and postdocs. And typically you can schedule a consult with someone in that office who will read over your materials for you. Also, they usually offer support with preparing for interviews, and you can do a mock interview. So that's just another resource. I think they often support both PhD students and postdocs on a lot of campuses. So also look for that. It might be more general questions if you do a mock interview or more general feedback that they give you on your documents, not specific to our field, but I still think it's worth the time and might be really helpful.
That's a really good idea. I hadn't thought of reaching out to the postdoc office at the university. I'm also wondering, I know we've been talking a little bit about the job application, but I'm also thinking a lot about preparing for the interviews, and I'm wondering what kinds of questions that you prepared or that you think after having gone through it that you think that you should have prepared for in the first round interview or screening interview versus the in-person interview.
The first round, I would say I found the questions were pretty consistent across departments, give or take one or two questions. So typically it's going to be 15 to 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, but they really try to keep these brief. The first question or one of the first questions is usually just something to the effect of tell us about yourself, tell us about who you are, tell us about your work and your interests. So having that elevator speech of who you are and what you do is really important. Then there's typically going to be a question about why you're interested in this position at this institution. So make sure you've done your research so you can answer that question in a really personalized way. Then depending on the priorities of that institution in this department, typically there will be a question about teaching, a question about research, service. And then I also was receiving questions about DEI in some way. So any experiences you've had that might be relevant that you could bring into the department. So here they're really just getting a snapshot of you in that quick time period, and you're getting a snapshot of them and what you might be able to bring to them and what they might be able to bring to you and your work in supporting you.
Yeah, those are pretty much the questions that I got as well, so all related to those topics. And always have some questions ready as well for yourself. So maybe, you know, you wanted a little bit more information about what does, you know, the teaching and research and service, what does that look like for an incoming, you know, assistant professor, whatever the position is, what does that look like? Another question that I always ended with was asking about what is your timeline to fill this position? So that kind of avoided the extra email. At the same point, it allows you to kind of just think about, okay, this is what it is. And some were more broad answers and some were definitely like, well, we hope to know, you know, we're finishing the first round interviews by this date, and we hope to be communicating within the next couple of weeks after that. So about the situation or the next, you know, 6 weeks, we'll be communicating back and forth with the interviewees. So it just kind of depends. And I think for the second round, that's really where having a schedule. So all of my second round interviews, I was given a schedule. And then within that schedule, then I would know who I was meeting with, and I would come up with kind of questions or make some points related to similarities or commonalities between us. Or maybe, you know, tell me more about your research. I know you do this, but hey, tell me more about that. Oh, I see you've taught language acquisition. Tell me more about how you've designed that course. So you can kind of get more specific then within there. But one thing that I did notice is that sometimes within our department, maybe the clinical faculty, they wouldn't have as much flexibility in meeting times because they were seeing clients. And so I would meet with them in a group. And so when I did that, I would ask more questions just about the clinic and how it was ran. Are they, you know, how have they been open to research integrating within the clinic? More of those types of questions. But then I would always have some questions ready that are just about life a little bit. So what I mean by that is one of the questions I asked every single person, every single group was, why did you come here and what is helping make you stay here? You know, what is it that you're still here for? And I got a variety of answers, and I think it kind of gave me insight into kind of job satisfaction and more about like the community in itself. So those are some of my tricks and tips related to preparing for kind of the second round interview questions.
Anna, I think that is such a great question to ask about, like, why did you come and why did you decide to stay here or what keeps you there? Because it is true. Like, I think with these interviews, it's a chance for us to get a feel for the department and the culture too. So I just think that's a really smart and insightful question to ask. Something I have to add to my notes for future me.
Yeah, that's so great, Anna. I'm so glad you highlighted the importance of looking at that schedule and trying to prepare for what they're going to ask you, but also having your own questions to ask them, because you'll enjoy it so much more if you can make this into a nice conversation than just an interview where they're just asking you questions. They'll look for that too, and you can get a feel of the culture a little bit more that way too. All right, I see that we are at our time. So to be respectful of everyone's time, I'm going to say thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I really appreciated all of your questions, Helen and Micah and Anna. Thank you for joining us to share your perspective on the job market as well.
Thank you so much. This is so helpful. Wish us luck.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate your insight, Danica and Anna. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me. So good luck, everybody. And we're rooting for you to find a position that's a good fit. So that's what matters for where you're at and where you're headed. So good luck, everyone.
Yes, absolutely. Good luck. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of About, From, and With. If you haven't already, be sure to follow the podcast so you'll be notified of new episodes when they come out. I'd also love if you could take a quick second to leave a review of the podcast to help others find it. You can follow me in the podcast on Instagram at danicapfeiffer.slp or on Twitter at about from_with. Until next time, stay humble and kind.